was informative. It was inspiring. It was uplifting. And I didn't really know this story before I got to dive into it on this show. And I really think you're going to enjoy it. He has a PhD specific to education and youth and communication in that world. And what he decided to do, as he kind of tells the story, is he started a nonprofit called Meet and Teach. And what he's now done is hosted workshops all over the world, but specifically starting in South Africa. He talks about some examples here of how he jumped in and helped the community and is doing some really big, cool things. Meet and Teach, what it says on their website, to give you a little background, is a nonprofit organization designed to provide disadvantaged youth with educational hands-on workshops and sports camps. Meet and Teach consists of a diverse group of coaches and workshop instructors that teach youth creative processes in areas such as videography, photography, music production, design, and more. The organization was established in order to create accessible activities and provide the community with more opportunities to all. I love that. You can learn more about this foundation at meetandteach.org. And you can follow Evan on Instagram. It's Dr. spelled out D-O-C-T-O-R, Evan Brown. So go give him a follow. Those notes will be in the episode. And one thing that I think you'll see in this is he talks about the perspective that he had being in very, very rough places in South Africa and also experiencing, still the leftover from apartheid and the racism that was in place. And basically, as he explains how in these camps, he gets people of different backgrounds and ethnicities that have come together and are working together for a common cause. Like, honestly, I felt like I was talking to Denzel Washington in Remember the Titans. I make that comment in the interview. You're going to love this. Enjoy the episode and go support him. I think we're going to be doing some things here in the next little bit, so stay tuned. He's got my creative juices flowing of how we can all give back. Okay, we have Dr. Evan Brown in the house.
The talking building.
We've been talking about this episode for a while. So excited to have you here. Thanks for coming into studio. Yeah.
It's been a journey, man, trying to get here. I know last time we were scheduled to film, I had to have like a mouth surgery. I was sounding like Mike Tyson. Like, I don't think I can do it, Connor.
You're like, you got it now. You're sounding good. You have more swagger than has ever been at this studio, I think, now, right? I love it. You just moved to Utah from Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Herzog, what's that move been like?
Man, it's been an amazing experience. Utah is definitely different. Different scene. You know, people are very nice here. I don't know what it is. But yeah,
something in the water.
Yeah, and I've been making a lot of connections out here. So it's been a great experience so far.
That's really cool. Well, I'm so excited to dive into what you're doing right now. You've got a lot on your plate, and I love that you're making a difference in the world. You know, like so many people that I bring on the show here, they have some sort of message and they're proactively out there trying to help other people do it. And as I've watched you and gotten to know you a little bit, I'm like, I want to highlight your story and what you're doing on the show. So I want to start with this. One of the things you said to me is you said the future of communication is visual. And I was like, I had to think about that for a minute. I'm like, man, he's right. I've never heard that put that succinctly. Explain that to me.
So, yeah, what I mean by the future of communication is visual. If you think about it, like, you know, the rise of engagement with users on Instagram, TikTok, you know, these platforms, they're communicating visually. Like
sure.
Videos, reels, you know what I'm saying? And this is how they express themselves. So
yeah.
The communication is definitely visual. So that's where things are leading to, for sure.
Yeah. I think that's interesting because I'm a history buff. People that listen to this show know that. And you look at when technology all of a sudden becomes available to the masses, right? Like, it's all Gutenberg's printing press all of a sudden made it. We're like, oh, we can read now because we can have books in our house. And all of a sudden, I'm imagining someone at that time was like, the future of communication is going to be written in books. And they're like, yeah, you're right. That's how you learn. But now seeing, like, most of us carry around in our pockets a camera that's better than any camera probably around on the block 10 to 15 years ago, right? So how do you think, like, accessibility to be able to actually make a video has changed the game.
It's definitely changed the game because people can document literally everything they're doing, you know, through video. They can kind of express themselves, show their talents. Saying back then, we didn't have too much of that. And once Instagram and, you know, Facebook,
yeah,
TikTok and stuff hit the market, it's like everybody took advantage of it. So it's kind of like a way to just show, you know, and express yourself visually.
Yeah. I think it gives you a really cool behind the scenes look too, right? Of like, to watch a celebrity or an athlete that you have and it's like, well, they're in their house right now, or they're just like in the drive-thru eating. Like, I think there's a side of course, people will talk social media has made us all fake and, you know, wanting to appear some way. But I think there's another side to it, that there's an authenticity and a realness factor that you get to see in people that typically you wouldn't be able to see. Have you seen that come to play as you've worked with a lot of people in that space?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of people. Wow, Connor, I kind of hit a...
You're all good. That's why we do a podcast. We're here for a bit. They've been talking about, like, celebrities that all of a sudden let you into their life.
What exactly do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, I know you work with a lot of people that are putting out content, sharing that in a way. And so I guess maybe what has been the reaction that you've seen, or just that you think in general, of being able to get behind the scenes in people's lives?
It's a really cool opportunity just to see, you know, what you might admire or what they're doing on a daily basis. And it kind of like gives you that inside scoop, you know what I'm saying, of what they're doing. Like, I'm
sure.
Instead of just wondering, hey, I wonder what, you know, LeBron is doing right now. You know what I'm saying? He's actually showing you, maybe at home with his family drinking wine. And it's just, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I do too. I think it makes people a lot more accessible.
Right.
Now, you know, on social media, you're Dr. Evan Brown, right?
Yeah.
You are a doctor. What did you get your PhD in?
So I got my PhD in Educational Administration, Southern University.
Okay.
Carbon.
Cool. All of a sudden, we're seeing these things come together now.
Right.
Of you then took that desire to educate and teach in communication, and then you tied it to this love you have for video. How did that all come to be? I want to hear about that evolution.
So basically in 2016, I had the opportunity to travel to Cape Town, South Africa. And, you know, while I was out there working on the documentary, it was a bunch of kids, you know, as I was going through the townships, they were wondering, like, what is this that I was using, which was like my camera.
Yeah.
Rig, stabilizer, and stuff like that. So I'm like, man, it'd be an amazing experience to actually provide these workshops for the youth. So fast forward, I went back, I think it was like July, and I went back to Illinois in August, and I applied for the PhD program in education, and I wanted to tie that in with media and pretty much formed a nonprofit called Meet and Teach. And basically that December, I took a group of volunteers with me over there. And that's how we got started teaching media arts workshops to disadvantaged youth.
Oh, man, that is so cool. And just starting going big, right? Like, you could have started in your backyard. You're like, we're going to head to South Africa.
Exactly.
Let's go to the other side of the globe. Tell me, I mean, I've got so many questions to hear about this. What was that first trip like? And what was it like connecting with the kids? Tell me.
And to be honest, the first trip, I was extremely nervous because you got to think about it. At that time, I think I was 26 at the time. And then it's not like, you know, I'm taking volunteers to the next state over. You know, I'm like, hey, tell your parents we're going to Indiana. This is like 9,000 miles across the world. You know what I'm saying? So that really put a lot of pressure on me. You know what I'm saying? It's just trying to figure out how to actually make this work.
Sure.
So the first day when I got there, you know, volunteers are excited. Connor, when I tell you the place was empty, no kids, you know, we're at the facility. I'm like, I'm scratching my head like, where is everybody? Volunteers looking at me, I'm like, oh my God. And Connor, I kid you not, about like 10 minutes later, it was over 100 kids came. And it was just, it was crazy. I was like, my mind was blown. So that's pretty much after that, you know, we were doing the workshops daily for about a month. And it was an amazing experience, to be honest. It was life changer for me. humbling experience. You know, we got the chance to do like community service, yeah. giving back to their families, passing out care packages as we walk through the townships. Just kind of like spending time with them to really get to know them, and also just really bringing them together. What I mean by that, out there, it's a lot of segregation, you know, still going.
Absolutely.
Apartheid.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So South Africa, I'm not even considered black. I'm considered colored.
Yeah.
You know? And it was kind of shocking to me once I was hearing this when I got, I'm like, what do you mean I'm not black? They was, no, my bro, you're colored. That's how they talk.
I know a lot about this from Trevor Noah's story.
Oh,
Trevor Noah, the comedian who says the same way. I think his mom was white and his dad was white. Maybe I have that mixed up. But he didn't have a home because he wasn't accepted by either group. And so you experienced that.
Yeah. Huh? So it was crazy. Just think of like a triangle. The community that we were in is called Hout Bay. So in one corner, you got the black people that, you know, have darker skin and they tend to speak Xhosa. That's how you say it, Xhosa.
Man, you even had the clip.
Hey, I'm trying.
Impressive, my man.
So then in the other corner, on the other side, you have, you know, colored people, which is, you know, people with lighter skin and they tend to speak Afrikaans. Of course, it's like the whites that kind of like scattered throughout. And so, yeah, man, when it was over there, it was literally, you know, the blacks and colors weren't really trying to work together. I wanted to, you know, of course, invite people, all races, cultures to come, you know what I'm saying? And so media arts was a way to actually bring them together and start working together, and as a way to stimulate social change and break racial barriers that existed. So it was amazing.
Ah, that's awesome. So that 100 kids show up, are they black mainly, or was it a mix?
So it was a mixed crowd. We basically had a lot of blacks and colors. It was mixed and maybe a few whites, you know, but other than that, man, program, it was just like, it was mind blowing. I never thought I would be able to get them to work together. You know, at the beginning, it was kind of hard because you could see like when I'm trying to mix up the groups and say, hey, work with, you know what I'm saying, the color, work with them from IY, because that's where how it was broken up. Those that were from IY were basically black.
Yeah.
Those who lived in Hangburg were considered colored. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, work with the kids from IY. You know what I'm saying? And they're just like, high close. Those like, I don't really want to work with them. You know what I'm saying? By the end of the program, they were friends. And I structured it in a way, Monday and Wednesdays we did the program in the black community. Tuesdays and Thursdays I had transportation to have the kids come to the color community, and that's how they got to know each other, you know, community for the whole month or so that we were there, you know, at a time. And so, man, this was a way to really get them working together. Like I said, we would literally walk through their communities and the people would see like, hey, you know, we got people from IY over here and vice versa. So it's like we were bringing them together through what they also love, media arts. And so the program we started was called The Race. I played a little spin on, you know, the race being, you know, your background, ethnic background and stuff, but also it symbolizes like a competition between the students who participated. And it also was an acronym for Teaching Hip Hop Essentials, rap artistry, culture, and excellence. And so what I had them doing is I had it broken down to each group consisted of like a rapper, a videographer, a photographer, a graphic designer, and a music producer. So just think about these kids love rapping. And so just think about the industry, you know, the media industry.
Yeah.
You use all of these things. You know what I'm saying? For example, a rapper needs photography. So I had the photographers on the team. They need the music, had the music producers, the video producers and stuff like that. So it's just like we're bringing them together and teaching them these different skills.
Yeah.
And we're showing them how it's done like in the real world.
Sure.
And so it was pretty cool, man.
Now, when you're saying these kids, how old were most of them?
So they were mainly like high schoolers.
Okay.
Yeah. So they were in high school, and then we took that opportunity, partnered up with local colleges and universities, and took them on trips to the schools to expose them.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, you can actually go to school for this, make a career out of it. And so they really enjoyed that aspect of actually being able to go to the college. This was some of their first time, you know, even getting away from, sure, you know, their neighborhood. So it was a dope experience.
That's interesting. I think for a lot of us that maybe haven't experienced other cultures like that, I mean, I think I've traveled more than most to kind of see that, but there's a lot of people that might think of a place like Africa as another planet, right? Like, can't even relate to that. We're like, is this the Lion King or what's going on, you know? And so my question for you is, like, how much did you feel like, man, I'm in a whole different world? Did they have technology? Like, what did you come in knowing?
So the crazy thing, I get this a lot too, is like a lot of people thought we were like living in the jungle while we were over there volleying. And I'm like, no, it's not like that. You know, it is a lot of poverty that does exist, but it's also, for example, you got a thousand small homes, what they call shacks. You know, it's probably the size of this room, made out of like scrap metal, wood they can find, and no access to bathrooms, no fresh water. And it's probably six or seven people living in a tiny space like this. And then think about it, it's thousands of them packed on top of each other. So there's no good roads, no sidewalks and good access like that in certain areas. And then across the street, you know, it's $20 million mansion. And they literally have to stare at this every day. And you can kind of see the mansions, all of the land that they have. Literally, they're just facing each other like that. And it's just mind blowing. But it is technology out there, modern housing. Africa or South Africa, and Cape Town, South Africa is one of my favorite places. They have everything. It's like the best of both worlds. You can get to experience different things.
Yeah.
I love taking people out there to kind of like, you know, get to understand, you know, the culture of it, learning about Nelson Mandela and stuff like that. History is just, man, it's an amazing experience.
Did you get the chance to go out to Robben Island?
Yes.
Tell me about that. That's on my list. I know my apartheid history and Nelson Mandela. Yeah.
So Robben Island is a pretty cool trip. So you actually have to take a boat to, you know, get there, and ferry. Once you get there, you're kind of greeted by the tour guides, who some of them were actually in the prison with Nelson Mandela. They actually knew him. So now they are people that kind of like give the tours. We actually got the chance to, you know, go to his cell where he was at. So, man, it was crazy. And it's just like, wow, you know, the things that you see on TV and all of the history that you study, but just seeing it in person for yourself, it's a different experience.
Now, did you expect, so you said, you know, you started this, obviously it was about multimedia and helping those that were, underprivileged. Did you expect to have the racial divide within? And like, were you prepared for that? Or was that just, you got there and realized, hey, everyone's the same, like you did that and that was the effect?
Well, before I actually started the program, I knew that, you know, the racial barriers existed from just being there, sure, you know. But once I got there, it didn't even dawn on me that, like, they wouldn't want to really work together. You know what I'm saying? Because the environment that I was in was majority of the Black community. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, I started getting exposed as I was, you know, navigating. Because I think I was over there originally for 2 months when I first went in 2016. And so once I started exploring, I'm like, wow, it's a whole nother side, you know. And that's when I discovered the colored community. And that's when it started hitting me. I'm like, wow. So, you know, them two, you know, they're separate. You know, they speak two different languages. They have two different cultures. They eat different food, really. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of an interesting thing, you know, and just being able to go there and try to bring them together was kind of a shock to me. And a lot of people were saying, like, man, the work that you're doing right now, you may not realize what you're doing now, but down the line, you're going to see, like, the lives and, you know, how many lives you touched in a positive way by bringing them together.
You know who you are as you're talking right now. You're reminding me of Denzel Washington.
Oh.
One of my favorite movies, Remember the Titans.
All right.
And Remember the Titans, right? Like, I love that monologue he gives when he's like, I don't care if you're black, white, green, brown, get your ass on that bus. And I can see you in that mode, like, hey, it doesn't matter. Like, we're here for a common cause, and seeing that happen over the course of days, like, how rewarding. And I'm imagining that that type of experience, to see that happen, one, is something that's life-changing, but two, you want to do that again.
Oh, yeah. It brings, man, when I'm over there, just being able to literally do what I love doing, which is filming, making music, you know,
yeah.
And just being able to share those skills that I grew up with. Because growing up, I didn't have too much access to a lot of this stuff when I was younger. As I got older in high school, and I became
sure.
exposed to different things, you know, besides playing like the piano and stuff, I wasn't really into media growing up. But as I got older, I'm like, man, this is pretty cool. And so just being able to get a team of volunteers too from college that believed in the vision that I had, them come over, volunteer, you know, and teach them these media arts workshops, man, it's a cool experience. And just seeing how the kids accept it and how they're excited, how they're coming on time, and how they're just like, man, like, we really appreciate this opportunity. Like,
yeah.
They're very thankful. They're very thankful for it.
And I love that. I've had the chance to do one humanitarian trip, went down to an orphanage in Mexico, and just absolutely loved it. It was actually there over Christmas.
Oh.
And so I was able to experience that with them. And, you know, I left that trip saying, man, how can I give back? Like, I'd love to do something like this. I kind of admire those, well, not kind of, I admire those who start an organization or build a nonprofit. You've actually done that now. So give me some advice to maybe listeners that are saying they want to make a difference in the world. They like to get into that, but how do you even know where to start?
Man, that's a good question, Connor, because when I started it, to be honest, I really didn't know what I was doing. I knew I just had vision.
Yeah.
Like, I knew I wanted to help these kids. And I told them before I left, I said, man, I'm coming back. So just start taking small steps, like how to start a nonprofit, Google how to actually register the nonprofit in your state, and just start trying to use the resources that you know. You know, when opportunities aren't created for me, I start creating my own opportunities for myself and start bringing in people.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like how I am. Things aren't, you know, if I'm not invited to certain things, or if the opportunities aren't given to me, I'm going to go out and make a way on my own. And that has to be in. Have to have a drive to actually be able to lead the organization, because that matters. Leadership is very important. Like I said, it's a bunch of people that, you know, when it's time, they'll support you, but you gotta have the right mindset and know, you know, that you're a leader and actually how to lead in order to do something like this.
Yeah.
So
it's great advice, right? Like, start with those small steps. I think often we get really overwhelmed of trying to look at the end first. It's like, no, have that goal of where you think you might be, but what can you do today? What can you do in the next week, the next month? So tell me, you do that first trip, and it sounds like it was a major success, right? And you're like, man, this is awesome. How did that then grow and evolve from there? Like, how many times have you even been over there since?
Right. So the very first time, how it led to the second time, and I kind of expanded. So, you know, I'm tall, Connor. I'm about 6'5".
Big dude.
So
I would watch it on TV right now. It's like, wait, are they in a different spot? He's dwarfing Connor.
But no, I was literally at a basketball court one day, and it was a lot of kids like, man, oh my God, you're tall. Let's play basketball one day. And I'm like, you know what? I might come out and shoot some hoops with them. So, man, came out. Con, I had at least 45 on them. Kobe, I'm killing them, Connor. And so we ended up winning the game against the kids. So I'm going to, you know, sit down. They was like, oh, you thought it was over? Connor, when I tell you, it was like a movie. It was about 12 grown men walking, which was their parents. And they was like, oh, you got a game now. Kind of they blew us out, man. They parents blew us out. And at the end of the game, that's how we kind of came together. Where I was like, man, I said, you know what? I think I'm gonna start a basketball camp. And they were thinking like, man, stop playing. The next time we came over there, which was, so it was December the first time we went back, like in June.
Yeah.
Got new basketball courts put up, jerseys, everything, man. And they could not believe it. So we actually expanded and started a basketball camp, you know, to add that. Man, it was crazy.
That's so cool. I love, because it starts with connection, right? Like,
right.
You went to them and you saw what they were doing. Like, you're going to play, and then to see a game of basketball, that turning into you creating camps in South Africa. Like, man, I love life, right? I love just the roads that we can take that take us where we need to be. So you make the basketball camp too. You're still doing the multimedia stuff. How did that keep going?
So yeah, with the media, basically, you know, after people started seeing the first trip, you know, through promo videos and stuff like that, a lot more people just wanted to get involved. So we expanded back into the U.S. And did like workshops with the Boys and Girls Club. We partnered up with them. We've expanded to the Bahamas. We took a group of like a dozen students that had like learning disabilities, you know, to the Bahamas and taught them the creative process of documentary film. So that was an amazing experience, man. It was just like, you know, just being able to get them involved and just kind of hearing like their parents saying like, man, you know, my son wasn't talking as much. My son was very antisocial, you know, and with his learning disabilities, this and that. But being in the program, it allowed him to start actually communicating more, talking more, coming home more positive. So hearing stories like that really keeps me going.
Man, that's awesome. Is running this nonprofit your full time?
Well, I own the visual production company, which is called Visual. So that's
short.
Okay. So I'm trying to get things back going with Meet and Teach. We haven't been back since COVID started. My mom passed away probably a year and a half ago. So, man, the transition of getting back into things, you know, was kind of tough, especially with me recently moving out here to Utah. But I'm looking definitely to bring the program back. The kids miss us, and so I'm trying to get back over there soon for sure.
Yeah, you know, I think what a bummer. Like, that's one of the hard things about COVID.
Right.
All of a sudden, it shut down great things like that.
Right.
I had the chance in 2021. I went down to Peru and was in Machu Picchu, like, the first week they opened back to tourists. And no one had a job for a year and a half, right? Because you had a town that was all built around tourists coming to Machu Picchu and having that experience. And it was so cool to see, like, I was at a restaurant the one time and this bartender talked to us. He's like, I want you to know this is the first meal I've made for a client in a year and a half. And he started crying. It meant so much. And so that's my push to you, like, get back out there. And if they appreciated that before, man, they'll appreciate it just so much more now as well.
That's how I'm thinking, Connor. Just, you know, I keep in contact with a lot of them still over there. So, man, I'm just, if you're watching right now, you know, I'm going to be back there. So,
yeah.
For sure.
For my listeners, how could they support this and get behind your nonprofit?
Oh, yeah. If they want to, you know, support, you can go to meetandteach.org. That's meetandteach.org.
Okay.
And, you know, it's all, everything's up there, what we've been doing in the past years, how you help, you know, how to support the mission.
Yeah, and you take donations, I'm guessing,
yeah.
Like,
oh,
you're
yeah.
fundraising and doing that bit.
Right.
And we need to help you grow in Utah. Now that you got those connections.
Utah, listen, it's some amazing things happening in Utah for sure. And I'm very excited to be here. I never felt so welcome place like this, you know, and it's just, you know, just been meeting the right people, and they've been able to provide different resources for me, like, hey, you should talk to this person, you should talk to this person. So it's like different community, you know what I'm saying? So it's growing, especially in the diversity areas, you know what I'm saying? We need more people of color, you know, out here, but those that are here, you know, they tend to work together, they're strong, and we're able to, you know, connect and make things happen.
Yeah,
sure.
It's great to hear that perspective, right? And, you know, we talked before this started, and we had Landon here, my business partner at Studio. And I'm going to say this on the show, because I feel like if we put this out there, there's a way higher probability of it taking place. But I said, hey, I'd love to get studio involved and see if we can go out there and do one of those trips and help with you. And I saw Landon's wheels go, and he's like, I could get some brands to sponsor this. I could create this. So I'm saying it right here, right now. Let's say 2024.
Okay.
Winter.
Okay.
We're making a trip happen with us. You got to get back out there first.
Let's go.
Will you take me there?
Man, it's a done deal, Connor. Like, I think they would love you all over there. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of people follow what you do, especially Landon. Like, Landon is an amazing creator when it comes to video. So just having a mentor and somebody like that that can kind of like guide them, you know, other than myself, that would be phenomenal. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of like how I got the concept of meet and teach. It's like you're meeting them, teaching them something, and it's vice versa. I used to have kids 3-4 years old teaching me how to speak their language. These kids 4, 5, 6 years old know at least 3 or 4 languages fluent. It's mind-blowing. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I barely just speak Spanish. Como esta? You know what I'm saying? I barely know that. So I'm just mind-blown by like how intelligent they are, how smart they are, and just seeing them like, kind of like happy even during the worst times. You know what I'm saying? It's just, like I said, man, if you can go there and just walk through the townships, you're going to see that these people don't have much, little to nothing. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, they still happy. It's just like, man, they just, we're so privileged over here. You know what I'm saying? They wanted the rubber band off my hand. Just is like, man, can I please? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, that's it's touching. Just how appreciative they are. So I'm really looking to get back over.
I love that. It's perspective, right? Like we live so much of our lives in our own bubble. Just what affects us. Like our sphere of influence is only so big. And I am such an advocate of those opportunities to expand. In fact, going back to Trevor Noah, like we talked about him, he has a quote that I've always loved. He said, the antidote to ignorance is travel. And he says, and when you go travel to a place where they don't speak your language, because immediately you realize that the world's so much bigger than just you. And what a great thing to remind yourself of, like, our world, of course, that's our experience, and we don't experience anything outside of it. But it's a whole lot bigger than just what we face on a day-to-day. And there's a lot of people going through things that we couldn't even fathom or imagine. Right. It's a great perspective.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's mind-blowing when you think about it. Once you go over there, a lot of people over there really do admire America. It's like their dream to get over here. You know what I'm saying? And have an opportunity over here. And it's like, all the TV shows they show, you know, Real Housewives of Atlanta, loving hip hop, all of that stuff. And they thinking that, you know, everybody over here is living like that. So it's kind of like it's brainwashing in a way. You know what I'm saying? Everybody in America, a lot of them thought, you know, everybody drove Rolls Royces. It wasn't any crime over here. And it's just like it's what they're showing on the media. You know what I'm saying? And lately, they've been doing a better job media-wise to show, like, you know, successful people in Africa instead of, like, the old way of marketing Africa. You know, you got kids out there just starving all the time, but actually, you know, having shows that shedding light on people that are actually doing good, you know, and I think that's very important. You know what I'm saying? And vice versa, it's important to show what's actually going on over here. I know, you know, we're trying to keep a certain image, but it's like to them, it's nothing going wrong over here in the States. And I'm like, that's not necessarily true.
Such a good point, because I think it's easy to think of, like when we think of humanitarian work or giving back, it's like, oh, we'll go to the other side of the world to do that. We'll go to a South Africa. We'll go to these different places. But realizing there's so much you can do right in your backyard.
Right.
And that's why I love the transition that you've made with this as well of, you know, bringing this to the States and, hey, go work with the Boys and Girls Club in Lehi, Utah, you know, wherever you might be. And I think that's a really cool next step for your brand is,
oh, yeah,
it works anywhere.
Right. And that's kind of like how I'm thinking of it is literally a cultural exchange. So basically, my dream is to take a group of kids from here over to Africa, allow them to work together, and then bring the group from Africa over here. And it's like basically meet and teach on a whole global scale, and they get to experience exactly how we're living for themselves. You know, even when we took them on small trips, how it's like fountains where you can get the unlimited drinks.
Sure.
I took them to a place, man, they've never seen this before. And they were just on their, you know, some of them, few of them had phones, and they were just like, oh my God.
Recording a fountain drink.
Right. And it was just mind blowing. I'm like, man, so just to have them over here to see how we're really living, you know, see the environment, see the stuff that they've been kind of seeing on TV, you know what I'm saying? It would be phenomenal. And just to get to experience our culture as well, how we do media over here, and vice versa, our students seeing how they communicate, see how they're living. And it's just a huge cultural exchange that opens up so many opportunities for college students as well to get involved. Like I said, we utilize college students to teach the high school students over there. And it's a great opportunity for universities. You know what I'm saying? Because basically, while we're there, we're exposing these students to college opportunities. Like, you know, hey, if you want to do this seriously, you can actually go to school for it. And that's kind of like my approach now. Like I said, a lot of kids are using TikTok, Instagram, and they're kind of like self-teaching themselves. Where Meet and Teach comes in, that is just like, how about we teach you how to do this for real with a DSLR, an actual camera, or, you know, anything, yeah, and to show you how you can actually make money and make a career out of it,
yeah,
and actually, you know, work with people from different industries, you know. And I feel like that's very important. Instead of just being a videographer, you should be a photographer as well. You should have definitely like a diverse professional background. I know how to do so many things. I'm in videography, photography, graphic design, website design. I went to school for audio engineering. So it's like, I have a very diverse professional background, and that's what a lot of people are looking for nowadays. They just don't want to hire a videographer anymore. They're looking for you to have more skills. You know what I'm saying? You take pictures as well.
Yeah.
You think you can make our company a logo? You know, they looking for these
things. Can you write a script?
Right.
Yeah.
So that's very important to kind of like navigate the industry now.
I love that phrase, cultural exchange. And, you know, we started this episode by talking about the accessibility of media and how that brings people together. And I think that's a really good way to describe social media. Like, it is an exchange of ideas. It's an exchange of cultures, and it puts us in our best and our worst, right? Like, I started this whole show in the thought that we are way more alike than we are different. And if we just will talk to each other, and more important, listen to each other, then we're going to find that out pretty fast. And so I love how you've molded, you know, using content as a way to display humanity doing good things, and people coming together and seeing that as a unifying source. Like, kudos to you, my man.
Right.
This is really, really cool to hear this story, and I hope you keep crushing it.
Kinda, I'm trying, man. And like I said, visual is the new language that people are going to be speaking. You know what I'm saying? How can you communicate visually? I was over there, I was telling them kids on top, I don't know how to speak Afrikaans, Xhosa, like that. But, you know, once I started sharing and showing them visually where I'm from and how we do things, they were like, okay, now we're talking.
Yeah.
Now we can talk, and I can kind of see, like, you know, where you come from, and they're showing me things, you know what I'm saying? Well, let me take you here. I want to interview this person. I want you to know my story. So it's like, it's a whole different language. And I feel like today's world, especially in education, we need to be preparing students how to communicate, like I said, visually. Thousands of years ago, that's how a lot of people communicated, you know, like how they used to have the drawings,
sure,
you know what I'm saying?
Hieroglyphics.
The artifacts and all of that stuff. They used to do it back then. And then it's like, now we're doing it even more on a whole nother different level. So yeah,
I think about that sometimes. Like, I went to Egypt last year, and what's so interesting about Egypt, right, is because they wrote stuff down and were able to translate it, like, we know so much about Egyptian culture, where there are other people living at that same time that, like, we don't even know existed. And I think of, you know, in 2,000 years, if someone came back to America, the amount of content they're going to have to sift through to see what we were up to, because we record everything. Everything's right there. And so it's kind of funny to think how, you know, even with taking a picture, you know, right, you used to go on a vacation and you had 30 shots on a disposable camera. Yep. And so what you took in those 30 shots was going to tell your story. Right. Well, what happens now when there's thousands and thousands of pictures from that same trip and videos? Like, who knows?
That's going to be crazy, man. I'm so interested on how the future will look. You know what I'm saying? Especially outside of, like, video. What's next to come? You know, how's things going to keep evolving and growing? So I think that's going to be a pretty interesting concept as well.
Yeah. Well said. You said that you wanted to ask me some questions here. I mean, I'm really nervous to do this, but yeah, I think it's only fair if I put you in the hot seat. So I do want to wrap this up, but what else right do you want to bring up?
So Connor just said that we are more alike than, you know, than we would know it. And we actually are. So I was on Connor's Instagram recently, and he was somewhere, you know, he had a bunch of albums on his wall.
Oh, shoot. Now I know where you're going.
Connor was on the wall. You know, he used to sing back in the day. And I'm looking like Connor was doing, you know, the vocal lip warm-up.
Got to warm up, man.
So I'm like, Connor. So I found out Connor used to be a singer. I'm like, man, a fun fact about me in college, I used to sing Italian opera. A lot of people do not know this. And one of my go-to songs was Caro Mio Ben. It's an Italian piece. So, man, I used to have to get up on stage at Shryock. They open up those red curtains. It's like thousands of people sitting there waiting, and I have to sing opera. And I was just like, man, it was crazy. But I was very interested.
How did you get into opera, my man?
Man, school. So, funny story. I'm going to make this quick. When I first went to college, I was going for music performance.
Okay.
And so I'm a musician as well. I write a lot of rap, sing and stuff. So I'm thinking music performance, you know, man, I'm about to be performing. I'm about to be in there. You know what I'm saying, Connor? They had me in there playing classical music 8 hours a day. Oh, and I said, this is not what I was thinking. And I figured if I had, you know, someone kind of explain that a little more thoroughly, I had that support on that side, yeah, I would have been good. But I made that transition into radio and television, and I had a specialization in audio engineering. And that's where I really wanted to be. I had access to studios.
Yeah.
That's when I started, you know, getting involved with filming and the cameras, and that's really where my life changed.
Yeah.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck